And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is learning more about ourselves. Each of my guests is explaining how we can learn more about who we are. My next guest is a Ventura resident with a very unusual skill. He reads people's faces to help diagnose health problems. We'll discuss his skill and talk about his book, Diagnostic Face Reading and Holistic Healing. And if you have a question or if you just want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Roger Bizanis is considered the world's most foremost authority on face reading. He's also an expert on whole raw food foodism and has earned the new moniker Professor PH. His findings in his book, Diagnostic Face Reading and Holistic Healing, are used around the globe. Roger's health axioms are lead by example, teach only empirical truth, heal those who ask, dispel the lies of healthcare, and stop man's decline into the torment of drugs and surgery. Joining us from Ventura, how are you today, Roger?
I'm great, Billy. How are you?
I am terrific. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Been looking forward to this because I'm fascinated with the whole idea that a trained person can look at another person's face and identify health issues. So I guess my first question to you is, how did you discover this art, and for how long has face reading really been practiced around the world?
Well, it's as old as mankind itself. Hippocrates was doing it. It's seen in cave art. It's not able to be really dated. Face reading is really the oldest technique, other than maybe iridology, which is the study of the iris, to understand what the body's doing. And when you consider what it is, I mean, we didn't have stethoscopes, MRIs, CAT scans, and so forth thousands of years ago. We looked. And even practitioners from the 1900s and 1800s, but let's just talk about more recent times, 1900s, would not only look, they would listen, they would smell. An individual who was off or ill looked different than the rest. And how I stumbled onto face reading was completely accidental. I was doing a convention. I was visiting a convention in San Jose, California, back in the early 90s. And there was a homeopathic medicine doctor there at this San Jose Skin Show, still doing that show. I mean, it's still there. And a homeopathic medicine doctor had this interesting chart, and it was a face with multiple colors all over it and names of organs and arrows. And I saw what he was trying to achieve. He was trying to communicate that what was happening internally is represented externally. And I thought, well, that's really neat. Okay. I like this. I'm going to get this for my doctors. This is kind of a confusing chart, but I'm going to find the best one on the planet and reproduce it for my doctors and give it to them because they'll just love it. So I go back and I start researching, and I discover that every original culture on the planet has its own version of face reading, whether it's from Tibet, China, Japan, on and on and on and on, especially the Pacific Rim, where more of the original cultures lay, and into India and so forth. So there's all these charts. And I said, okay, I just started looking at them and figuring I'll just take the best one, the one that's the clearest, and I noticed something interesting. I noticed they argued. They didn't all agree on the same points being the same thing. And I thought, well, that's not good. So what I did is I then did a comprehensive study on my own where I picked up numbers of people with what initially was kidney issues. I figured, well, I got to start with an organ. Let's start with kidney.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm looking at kidneys, and at least I think I am, and I don't know what I'm looking at because I've thrown out all the previous data. Well, so I'm looking at these people's faces, hoping to see something, see nothing. Well, then I pick up people who don't have kidney issues and study their faces. I don't see anything there either. It wasn't until I combined the groups and gave them various foods and herbs, you know, one at a time, to produce some change one way or another in the kidneys that I saw, oh, well, look, that's where the kidneys are. The faces continually change there, right across the board. And then I went to the liver and so on until I built the entire chart, which was a gift to my doctors back in the early, mid-90s. So that's how face reading came about. It was something I stumbled onto and was doing out of a bit of a favor for my doctors, and they just loved it and wanted more.
Well, my guest is Roger Bezanis, and we're talking about face reading. Now, Roger, but it begs the bigger question, how do health issues manifest themselves in the face, and why the face? You know, why not the skin? Why not the toenails?
They do manifest on the skin, but the skin is regulated by the liver. So what we see on the skin, if we see age spots or liver spots, which are the same thing, is liver. If the liver is dry, doesn't have enough water to run on, which it's the washing machine of the body, then the skin will be dry. So the skin from the neck down is a representation of how the liver is running. Now, what we're seeing on the face are three things. We see preconditions, in other words, conditions that haven't manifested, present time conditions, those that have manifested, and past conditions, those that have manifested and have cleared up. And so the face represents all of this information. We just have to know what to look for. Now, here's what's fascinating about this, and where some people go, what? Is he kidding us? See, we shouldn't look older as we age. Now, that sounds insane. It just sounds insane because that just doesn't make much sense until you consider one thing. We've all met people who are in their 40s and look 35 or 30 or even in their 20s. I met someone in their 40s who had kids 16, 17, 18 and was getting carded. I thought the girl was 16 when I met her. I was like, what?
Wow.
Anyway, and we've seen people who are in their 80s, snow white hair, and fairly smooth skin, or perfectly smooth skin, but they have white hair. So we don't all age at the same speed. There's no marker. So the face represents the sum total of what we're doing and what we've been saddled with from our genetic mix from our parents. Knowing that, we then can manipulate what we look like and, of course, how we feel based on identifying the regions of the face that reflect one organ or another. And it's really nothing more complicated than that. What we're looking for in face reading is redness, flaking, irritation, acne, moles, scarring. All scarring should heal. Now, this is really interesting, Billy. Think about this. When you were a kid, did you ever damage your skin? Well, let's just talk about your face. Did you ever do anything, acne, or cut yourself one way or another, or I hate to say, go through a windshield or something where there was scarring evenly on both sides of your face?
Absolutely, yes.
Sure, we all have. And if you notice, the face cleared up, but oddly enough, it was equal where the scarring was left close on both sides of the face in the same area, whether it was the cheekbones, the hollows of the cheek, the nose, whatever it was. There was a point that caught all of this damage, if you will. Well, that told us something. We just didn't know what it was. And I'm going to give you something interesting. That's just a piece of it. But think about this. When we see movies, there's usually a villain. Usually a villain. Now, in Chinese medicine, the liver and emotions are linked. That's over 5,000 years old. Liver and emotions are linked. Now, most terrorists, most people who are evil, usually aren't the friendliest, most well-adjusted people. You know, they have some issues somewhere. And they kind of, some of them, not all, but more, most of them, look kind of angry. Would you tend to say that's true?
All right. Well, I'll give you that. Go on.
Okay, yeah. Well, think about this. The liver is represented right between the eyebrows at the bridge of the nose, you know, where people squint and furrow that those creases that come in right there. And if you do that right now, just knit your eyebrows together really fast and notice how it makes you feel. And it makes you kind of feel like you need to start pushing out your bottom lip and feeling kind of grumpy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, it's not just a point. It's something we natively do, and we don't realize it. When we see someone kind of like that, it usually indicates stay away. Liver and emotions are linked. That's a liver spot. We never recognize it as such, but that's correct. So the face breaks down into regions, and knowing them, as I said, we have an alarm way in advance, years in advance of breakdown, telling us, hey, it's time to do something.
All right. Now, let me stop you right there.
Sure,
I do
ahead,
want to talk about the different regions, Roger. But before we get into that, you mentioned about the liver, and you mentioned that it really manifests itself between the two eyes on the bridge of the nose.
Yep.
And obviously, when you do that, it has the effect of creating crow's feet on either side of the eyes.
That's right.
Just
that's
sort of a natural.
Another liver point.
Right. That's another natural reaction to it. So my question to you isn't so much about that. I see the connection there. But when it comes to face recognition and now our fight on terrorism, is this sort of is this knowledge being implemented in face reading recognition software that we see at the airports and major public places where we're trying to identify terrorists?
I hate to say that no.
Oh,
although
no.
The police have wanted to, because it makes sense that somebody who would be evil, let's just say evil, you would show up that way. But you know what? Some people, think about this. If you were, let's just go to World War II.
All right.
Let's say we were in Nazi Germany and we were the SS. Okay, and we think we're doing right, and the Americans come along and are killing us off as fast as they can. Now, they look happy and well-adjusted over there, but they're killing us. So it's not about how evil or not evil someone is. It's whether they're emotional. And there are those who are calm and doing the right, what they think is the right thing. It just happens to be all wrong. And there's those who are very, very badly adjusted and look like it. So it isn't really a good way to use face reading other than knowing, at least for liver, other than knowing that the person is inclined or predisposed, if you will, to emotional reactions. That's what we would know is true. Now, let me give you an interesting story that is just remarkable. So people come along every now and then, and rightly so, wonder, well, is there any truth in face reading? You know, how did you discover this? And I have to say, it's based on science. And science is a systematic body of knowledge acquired via experimentation and observation. Anyone can do it. At least we're all culinary scientists, if you think about the definition of science. So there's someone I was working with for a long time at a chiropractor's office named Marilyn, and she's a chiropractic assistant. Her husband is Alejandro. Now, Alejandro does medical transcription for allopathic medicine, doctors, MDs, not the natural approach of chiropractic. You know, they should be fighting like cats and dogs, Marilyn and Alejandro. Some reason they're not. They seem to leave their differences at the door. They're married. Anyway, one morning after reading my books, and there's been a number of versions. The latest one is called Diagnostic Face Reading and Holistic Healing. Anyway, so and you can get that at rogerbazanis.com. Good luck spelling my name. So she's read all the incarnations of my book, and she does something you're not supposed to do. She looks at Alejandro and says, you have a spot on your right lung, and it's right down here at the base of your rib. I know, isn't it funny? Basically, not funny at all, really. At the base of your rib cage, and you have a spot on your heart on the right ventricle, somewhere near the right ventricle. That's all I know. He says, I do not. You do, too. I read it right here in Roger's book. I do not. Well, this is the equivalent of telling someone their makeup is funny or their hair isn't straight, or they've got some funny little spot. You know, they run right to the mirror and start looking. And in this case, he goes and sees his doctors, who owe him many favors. He gets an MRI. He gets a CAT scan. I don't know what all he does beyond that, but he gets enough that validates exactly what Marilyn said.
Wow.
Down to almost the millimeter of where she said it would be. And the good news is these spots weren't anything of any consequence. They were there. If they were ignored, perhaps they would develop into something. But they were just markers showing, hey, there's a little weakness here. Never manifested, as far as I know. And that was around 9 years ago. And I know Alejandro is fine today.
Oh, that's
so,
good to hear.
Anyway.
That's an interesting story. And it goes to show you that a little knowledge can, in some cases, be a dangerous thing. In this case, it didn't turn out to be. My guest is Roger Bazanis, author of the book Diagnostic Face Reading and Holistic Healing. So, Roger, it begs the bigger question. You talked about the family with the husband and wife should have been fighting like cats and dogs because one practiced holistic medicine, the other practiced more traditional medicine. The question that I have for you, why isn't more of the holistic healing that you practice, why isn't that being taught in our leading medical schools today?
Well, because of what it is. See, we're talking about big business here. And modern medicine in 2008, now these numbers came from the Kaiser Foundation, the hospital people who do research and checking numbers, adding, subtracting. They gave us this number. In 2008, modern medicine, this is drugs and surgery, made $2.3 trillion. Now, that's significant because in 1990, it was $7.4 billion.
Oh, that's astronomical growth.
Oh, my gosh. It's remarkably nuts. For example, here's a drug that's currently on the market beating up cholesterol. Actually, it's beating up the liver, called Lipitor. Now, Lipitor, at the moment, is the number one drug in the world with sales of 34 point. Those numbers are skewed. I just remember. Well, anyway, it's the number one drug in the world. Not going to give you the numbers. I got them wrong. Number one selling drug in the world, Lipitor. Number one. Well, because Pfizer is so anxious to keep those numbers safe, and the drug just came off the 7-year patent, you know, where no one can copy it, no one can do anything with it. They're doing something unheard of to keep the money coming in. What they're doing is telling the, and you see it on TV, you see it tonight on TV, telling us folks who could be using Lipitor not to abandon Lipitor for the generic, even though the generic atorvastatin calcium is the exact same formula to the, molecule that Lipitor is. Here's the bad news. Cholesterol is produced by the cells. Cholesterol is produced by the liver. Cholesterol comes from food. Here's what's not understood about cholesterol. The kind of cholesterol they're attacking is the kind that is lining the veins of the body to protect it against damage from an acidic environment produced by a horrible diet. Do the doctors who are recommending Lipitor know this? No. They just see it as a problem, get rid of it, but never address the problem, the actual source, which is the diet, which is kicking people in the teeth with their white sugar, salt, sodium, alcohol, tobacco, blah, 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 processed foods. They don't realize the connection, nor do they care, because they're selling something to get rid of a problem. But they never address what it was doing. Was it actually beneficial, not beneficial? Well, building up, it's not beneficial. But the reason it was building up is because of diet, but that's completely ignored.
I see. Well, my guest is Roger Bazanis. He is the author of the book Diagnostic Face Reading and Holistic Healing. He also practices right here in Ventura. Roger, if people are intrigued by what they hear and they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the best way, fastest way, right in front of your own computer, is just go to rogerbazanis.com. And I have a good spelling of that because it's my name. It's Roger, R-O-G-E-R, just simple, R-O-G-E-R, then B like boy, E like Edward, Z like zebra, A like apple, N like Nancy, I like Iowa, that was I like Iowa, S like summer, salami, silly, or something, and then .com, rogerbazanis.com. And you can see all my intellectual works right there. And communicate to me if you so choose. And it's open 24 hours a day. It's the Internet.
That is great. Roger, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your expertise. We'll be talking to you down the road.
You bet. Thank you, Billy.